All right. This is going to take you a little bit by surprise, but tonight I will be teaching about nothing. Now that's an unusual statement, isn't it? You know, and you're thinking, well, you know what? Probably about nothing. You may think, well, nothing can really be said then, can it? But Plato would disagree. He said, I am the wisest man alive, for I know one thing, and that is that I know nothing. Around 1600, Shakespeare wrote a famous play, Much Ado About Nothing. And you may remember a show, a TV show a few years ago called Seinfeld, which was summed up in this way in that last episode. It was a show about nothing. ask someone what they are doing, and the answer comes back. Nothing. A modern author has written, if you have nothing, then you have everything, because you have the freedom to do anything without the fear of losing something. Well, it does kind of look like an unlikely subject for teaching, but tonight we're going to look into this and follow this word nothing in the Bible. See where it's used and if there is some form of practical application, because believe it or not, in the New Testament it's used 115 times.
Wow.
And that ain't nothing, right? Oh, gosh. How about Luke chapter 5? We're going to be looking at that record where Jesus was instructing the apostles. You know, they came in, they didn't have any fish, and you know, here's a situation that's occurring between Jesus and these gentlemen. What I want to really focus in on, and I'll look at it from the ESV, is where Simon is answering. Says, Master, we toiled all night and we took what? Nothing. We took nothing. As someone has referred to this as the nothing of self-effort. You know, whether it's business or employment, personal achievement, or even in biblical understanding, we have all been there, and we know the helplessness of feeling that we have not advanced, we are not growing, or we have not improved at all. Amen? Mm-hmm. I see those hands. Mine just automatically kind of wants to go up, right? But here are these gentlemen. These are professional fishermen, right? Fished all their life on the Sea of Galilee. Peter, James, John fished all night without any fish in the boats to sell, to eat. You know, and in the previous verse there, you can look, Jesus told Simon, put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And here's a great simple truth. If you know what the word of the Lord is about a situation, then you know a lot. You have know a lot. So in some ways, it's good to know nothing, because then you're like an empty book, a sponge, that you are then open to receive. You know, somebody once said, if a man thinks he's learned everything, then he's closed the door on learning. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, you know, let's just clear the slate. We are nothing. We are who we are because of what God has made us to be. See? So, you know, there's some things to be learned here. And Jesus, he's made this tremendous statement. He said, you know what, guys, there's fish out there. Mm-hmm. And experienced fishermen are thinking in their minds, yeah, right, Jesus. If only you knew how to fish. And he's saying, just go back out there. Let down your nets. And you know, Peter, he had to have considered this as well as the other people. Like I said, he a lengthy experience fishing on the Sea of Galilee. But then, you know what? Something in his mind clicked. He either, whatever, I don't know, he got a revelation from God. God worked, energized him in the situation because he said, at your word, no, he said, but at your word, I will let down the nets. You know, here's a good point. a helpless yet experienced fisherman plus the Son of God equals success every time you fulfill these conditions. Okay, you're not a fisherman, but you are what you are. So a helpless yet experienced person of this world, together with the Son of God, we can manifest and see success. You know, later in the Gospel of John, Jesus told his disciples, whoever abides in me and I in him, this is in John 15:5, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do
nothing.
You can do nothing. So that's a kind of a poignant declaration there. Apart from me, nothing. But with me, fruitfulness. So we, you know, life, there's two roads to travel. Jesus is kind of making it very black and white here. The road of self-effort or the road of reliance on Jesus Christ as the branch of the true vine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, to me, the best road is obvious. You want to put forth all of the strength that you have to try to accomplish what God could get to you in a moment of time. I mean, the best path, obviously, is to, hey, I thought about this, cling to the vine. Cling to the vine.
Mm-hmm.
See, if we separate ourselves off from the vine, then we're in la-la land. We're just out there by our wits trying to trial and error and figuring it out. Why not stay connected? So how's nothing looking to you right now? Is it possible you see something? Here's another verse, Luke 22:35. It's amazing. Can you imagine 115 different places where it talks about nothing? Right. Luke 22:35. And he, Jesus, said to them, the 12 disciples, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? And guess what they said? Nothing. They didn't lack a thing. And here's a nothing of what has been called the complete supply. The nothing of complete supply. This is kind of a response. The incident given in Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus sent out the disciples to conduct healing, let's call them revivals, healing revivals, going out into the streets, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. How's that for a mission? All right, guys, now you go out there and do it and see what happens. You know, the 12 disciples, they said, oh, yeah, no, not me. Did they say that?
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't say that. They believed what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying, yes, we can do it, like Al was praying about there. See? Then they went out and they discovered that even without the presence, the physical presence of Jesus, that they could still use his power and that their everyday physical needs were still being supplied, for they lacked nothing. Not just physical, material things. They lack nothing to manifest power, spiritual power. And so, of course, it kind of begs to draw the logical conclusion that if God did this for the disciples, is there a possibility he would do it today in our day and time with the Spirit of God living within each individual believer?
Yes.
These people did not have the Spirit of God in them. And yet here they were, and they saw at one point, we saw Satan falling and angels from heaven or something like that. Right? Really something. Because according to 2 Peter 1:3, we've been granted all things that pertain unto life and godliness. See? And we're blessed in Christ in all spiritual blessings. Remember Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3?
Yeah.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You know, we can absolutely do a lot. According to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, we are complete in him. I love that way it used to be sort of explained. We are completely, 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 absolutely complete in Christ. And if you're complete, are you lacking anything?
Nope.
No. Do you have everything that you need for the journey? Absolutely. Absolutely. Sounds like that the man of God may be perfect. Truly, thoroughly, truly furnished unto all good works, like the ship, fully outfitted, prepared for the voyage in life. See, we've got it. You've already got it. And here's another one I want to just read as we kind of draw to a conclusion here. It's called the Nothing of Self-Assessment. Refers to that verse as, you know, from personal experience that even if a nobody, a nothing, if I'm a nobody, a nothing, I wasn't second rate compared to those big shot apostles you're so taken with. You know, it's dangerous to believe your own publicity. You know, we might have a great knowledge of the word, which many of us do, a lot of us do sitting here. And we might have actually been in situations where we healed the sick, we cast out demons, and maybe we brought a lot of people to the new birth in Christ. But you know, like Paul, without total reliance on God, we too are
nada.
Here's a couple of more verses as we kind of move towards the conclusion. Anybody remember 1 Corinthians 13, 2 and 3? Mm-hmm. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, so I have all faith so they can remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, I have not charity, it profits me nothing. How about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7? These are very familiar verses, but what I'm kind of pointing out tonight is the use of this word nothing. Because in Philippians 4, 6, I mean, it is one that many of us have learned and loved and have on our walls and quoted, and, you know, when we've been unpeaceful and anxious, this is the verse, you know. But here the first part of it says, be careful for what?
Nothing.
Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, two more. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Here it is. Let what? Nothing be done through strife or vainglory, But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, I love these verses. Actually used twice here. For we brought what? Nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. How's that for a simplicity of the scripture? Really? Ecclesiastes said, God has made everything very simple. We have made things very complicated.
Right.
The things of God are very simple. I love this. We didn't bring anything into this world, and guess what? We're not taking anything out, right? Having food and raiment, guess what? That's a good living, man.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody and I were messing around here a little bit this morning, and I said, you know, and I got this picture I found somewhere. It said, I received my first blessing of the day. I woke up. Okay? Because I'm thinking, what's the other option? Not waking up, right? So if we start our days thinking about how good God is, the blessings we've received, and realize, without God, honestly, we're nothing.
We're nothing.
We're nothing. So there's a lot of things. You know, we just briefly kind of scratched the surface, but we looked at a lot about nothing. And I think there's a lot to be said about it, and then we can learn something from these records, how to be less reliant on our own wisdom, and realize that without God, we truly are nothing, and we truly have nothing. So, guys, that's the teaching for tonight about nothing.